Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Everybody, this is Rob Halford, the Metal God from Judas Priest, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Jeff Tate from Queensryche, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Brad Gillis.
This is Kelly Kagi.
And I'm Jack Blades
from Night Ranger.
And you're listening to Talking Metal.
Right here.
Rock over London.
Zurich.
Auckland.
Dublin.
Dallas.
Milwaukee.
Los Angeles.
Sydney.
Indianapolis.
Tokyo.
Seattle.
Paris.
Budapest.
Berlin.
New York. Ladies and gentlemen. Two men who are committed to rocking you wherever you might be. John Astronomy and Mark Striegel. Welcome to the Talking Metal Podcast, broadcasting around the world from TalkingMetal.com and Striegel'sMusicNews.com.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast, hanging out in Midtown Manhattan with Mark Striegel, who is looking through some emails.
Yep, looking through some emails and getting ready to rock with you guys here on another episode of the Talking Metal Podcast. I'm heading down to Florida for a few days. I know that sounds crazy in July, but looking forward to taking a little break. And I thought we'd do a little podcast here before we... Before I head down to Florida. What are you up to this weekend?
I'll tell you the truth. I'm not even sure what I'm going to do this weekend. I'm going to rehearse with Paisley Babylon. I'm going to rehearse with Like It, believe it or not, a band that I play guitar in. We are going to do a private gig in Jersey in July.
Oh, cool. Cool. Anyways, let's maybe get into some music if you want to, and then come back and do a little talking.
That sounds great. We're going to play some stuff that Mark has on tap, and then later on in the podcast, we have a great interview with three guys, all great musicians, Jack Blades, Brad Gillis, and Kelly Kagi of Night Ranger.
This is Days of Darkness by Sinister Fate. Check it out. We'll give you some links to these guys in the show notes on TalkingMetal.com. Sinister Fate, Days of Darkness.
Days of Darkness by Sinister Fate. What else is going on, Mark?
Robert Lee King causing a lot of controversy on the talkingmetalforums.com. Robert, thanks for joining us on the forums. Your opinions are always welcome. And boy, what a hazing he received. I think if you go to the Talking Metal forums, his first post was something like, "Enjoy your podcast, but..." And he had some things to say. So, listen, man, I don't know. Back in Black, he was saying that I apparently said that's my favorite AC/DC record. It's possible I said that, and come to think of it, I know this may sound cheesy, but I think it's one of their strongest records, and it's one of the greatest-selling records of all time. I know Bon Scott is not on that record. It's Brian Johnson, and that's okay. Brian Johnson has done a lot of great stuff with AC/DC, which is overlooked. Fly on the Wall was a great record. We've spoken about that in past podcasts. Flick of the Switch. I'm a big fan of For Those About to Rock. And Back in Black, one of the all-time greatest hard rock records, without question. And it's a tough record for me to listen to nowadays because I've just been listening to it ever since it came out when I was a kid. I think I was in fifth or sixth grade when that came out, so it's hard for me to listen to it now. But I still, you know, I still think it's one of the most powerful records ever recorded. And as far as the Black Sabbath stuff goes, Robert, I prefer Black Sabbath with Ozzy probably over the other singers. Although two of my favorite records are definitely Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules with Dio, without question, and. For you to say that Black Sabbath without Ozzy is not Black Sabbath, it's wrong, man. It was. Legally, it was still Black Sabbath. If you don't like it without Ozzy, that's totally cool. But Black Sabbath was definitely Black Sabbath without Ozzy, and you can go to your record store and go to the Black Sabbath section, and you will see records in there that say Black Sabbath, and they do not have Ozzy on vocals. So, there you go.
Controversy on the forums. Anyway, thanks, man, for your correspondence. We totally appreciate it. Cool, Mark. So why don't we get right into this interview? But before that, you got a track queued up, Symptom of the Universe by Ozzy Osbourne, featuring Brad Gillis, who is part of Night Ranger. And let me tell you a little bit about Night Ranger's new record. It's called Hole in the Sun. And it's a killer record. Brad Gillis, Jack Blades, Kelly Kagi, Jeff Watson, and Michael Lardy from Great White are the musicians on this record. And there are 12 tracks, and there's actually a couple of bonus tracks. Everybody should go out and get it. It's available from VH1 Classic Records, who, incidentally, I want to make an announcement. I am going to be receiving from VH1 Classic Records a 8x Platinum Award for Kissology Volume 3 and a 6x Platinum Award for Kissology Volume 2.
Awesome, man. Congratulations on that. You worked hard on all those KISS things, and they look great, and they sound great, and every KISS fan should own all the DVDs, the Kissology DVDs that John worked on. And guys, thanks for listening. I can't wait to hear this interview that John conducted with Night Ranger. I'm very excited. MySpace.com/TalkingMetal. Check us out there. Of course, you got the TalkingMetalForums.com, TalkingMetalForums.com, that is, Twitter.com/TalkingMetal. And always be sure to send us an email at TalkingMetal@Yahoo.com. Check out Astronomy.net, MarkStriegel.com. And by the way, guys, the GoDaddy sponsorship is over. No more bands. What was that thing we were doing where you could register the name?
We were doing a thing where if you registered your name via GoDaddy, would feature your band on Talking Metal.
Yeah, that's done. So thanks for participating, and if you did sign up, you will at some point in the next 4 to 5 months hear your band's music on this podcast. What else? I guess that's it. I can't wait to hear a little Brad Gillis with Ozzy Osbourne and then the Night Ranger interview, and maybe finish up with a couple Night Ranger tracks.
Yeah. You know what? I got an idea. Why don't we hear a little bit of Symptom of the Universe, then we'll go into a great Night Ranger track, first track on the record. It's called Tell Your Vision, written by Jack Blades. Then we'll hear the interview, and then come out of the interview with a really cool track called White Knuckle Ride, written by Brad Gillis. Both off Night Ranger's brand new record, Hole in the Sun, available on VH1 Classic Records. Go get it.
Okay, let's check it out and use those links in today's show notes to purchase your music on iTunes, the music that we play in today's show on iTunes, that is. Thanks, John. Talk to you next week.
Great. Have a good time in Florida right now. This is Symptom of the Universe by Ozzy Osbourne featuring Night Rangers, Brad Gillis. John Astronomy here. I am in Midtown Manhattan on an insanely hot day with three great musicians who I've been a fan of for over 20 years. Jack Blades, Kelly Kagi, and Brad Gillis, Night Ranger. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. Good to be here.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, we love it, but it's very sweltering hot.
Now, I heard a story that there is no air conditioning in your hotel rooms, and you guys are in one of the nicest hotels in the city. What is up with that?
I know. Go figure. I mean, it's crazy, man. We came in here, and there's like, I'm sorry, there's no, and we're like, what? But you know what? It's like We've been around where it's been hot before. I mean, it's been hotter in Cleveland in the middle of summer playing a show out there at Blossom than it is right now here. So what the heck, you know? Anybody can handle a couple days. Everybody should go to Cleveland in the summertime for a few days, right?
Right. Good deal. So you guys have a ton of stuff going on. You're right in the middle of a massive world tour that's taking you guys all over the place. You just came back from Japan. You've got a great album called Hole in the Sun, the 25th anniversary of Night Ranger.
That's right. You know, we're really excited about it. The first single comes out in July called You're Gonna Hear From Me. And, you know, we're here in New York doing a lot of press for VH1 and XM and Sirius Radio. And we're just really excited that that people are gonna hear Night Ranger, you know, again, performing great songs like we always have. And, you know, I'm just really excited to be out there, you know.
This is kind of nice. It's our first record we've done in 10 years. So, you know, to have something new out and to be able to play a couple new songs in the set is great for us.
You know, it's interesting. It's 25 years, but in a lot of ways, it feels like it's been 25 days. Uh-huh. I mean, it just seems so fast, like it went by so fast, you know what I mean? I mean, you think of, like, 1982 or 1983, and this is 2008. I mean, sometimes it seems like a long time, but most of the time, it just seems like it's been 25 days.
You know, the thing is, too, is when you have a new record out, everything kind of gets fresh again because you got new material. You're excited about playing it, and so that's part of it, too, you know?
I've heard two of the tracks, Tell Your Vision and There Is Life. I think they're both great. How would you describe Tell Your Vision?
I think it's kind of a cross between classic Night Ranger and a little modern
where
twist on
it. Where
we
are right now.
Exactly.
Modern day hard rock.
I mean, just where we are right now, you know what I mean? I mean, we're never going to be like a modern band, like, right. You know, like Creed or you know, or whatever, you know what I mean? Not that Creed is modern now, but I mean, do you know what I mean? I mean, right. We're never going to be like, you know, considered a modern band or something like that. Yeah, right, exactly. Or, you know,
we just ended up throwing some like modern nuances in our music, you know, little kind of hip beats and stuff.
Great licks, you know. We've always been about big guitar licks, like, you know, we love Deep Purple and, you know, and Cream, and those bands all had good melodic, big hard rock licks, and so we tried to concentrate on having a lot of that stuff in this album too.
Well, I'll tell you, you had mentioned that these two tracks, which are up on your MySpace page, aren't the first single, and I think both of the tracks could be a single, and I understand exactly what you're saying about Tell Your Vision, because parts of it sound like classic Night Ranger, but there's a more of a modern-sounding killer guitar riff in that track, and I think that's a great direction that you guys are going in.
Well, the song you're going to hear from me has a big guitar lick in it, too.
The interesting with, like, with Tell Your Vision or anything like that, it's like, you know, you can't help as artists for the last 25 years. I mean, you can't help but grow. I think that the artists that don't grow don't hang around. I mean, and just, you know, the fact that we're still out here talking about it 25 years, you know, after we made our first record is just the fact that we have to keep, as artists, we have to, you know, keep growing with music. And, you know, and you can't help but, like, be influenced by what you hear around you. It's like you're a fool if you shut your eyes and pretend that the music that you hear around you isn't happening, you know what I mean? And I don't think we could ever sit back and make another Dawn Patrol record or Midnight Madness yet. This album,
we're just not there.
We're not the same people that we were 25 years ago.
Exactly.
However, you know, it has all. You know, what we can do is just rock the way we love to rock with all the experience that we've drawn for the 25 years, and that's what Hole in the Sun is all about.
I think it's important to move forward, and I think that's one of the reasons that Night Ranger has sustained. It's not like you guys stopped playing, you know, in the 80s and then are back. Night Ranger has been gone on ever since that time, and I think that's probably why, because you did evolve as opposed to just sticking with the same sound on Dawn Patrol.
Right, right.
We love experimenting. I mean, that's the thing about our last three or four records, you know. We always tried to bring, you know, different, you know, sounds and, you know, and influences in, and not just, you know, the ones that we grew up with, like Hendrix and Cream and like that. It's, you know, like Jack said, it's like whatever's around us, you know, we try and pull from that.
Now, Brad, tell us a little bit about the songwriting on this record. Did all of you guys write?
Yeah, it was kind of cool. Everybody pitched in about three songs, actually more than that. We just went in the studio and kind of, you know, the band went and played through everything and figured out which songs would be best for Night Ranger, and then everybody put on their little nuances and made it Night Ranger, you know. And, you know, I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I'm very influenced by, you know, what she plays in her room, and I hear all these bands and, you know, My Chemical Romance, The Used, and, you know, I'm a big Smashing Pumpkins fan, and, you know, I mean, one of the songs I brought in, White Knuckle Ride, actually Tuned Down, which is a lot of modern-day music. They tune down, get that low grindy sound, and, you know, we just wanted to be fresh and modern, you know, modern but still Night Ranger and old school rock and roll with a modern flavor.
Very, very cool. Was it a drop D tuning in that tune, or like everything was tuned down?
I brought it down to C sharp.
Wow, very cool.
What? I didn't tell you?
I thought my range just got better. No wonder
that's
it
why
so
it
cool.
sounded so bad live.
You know, speaking of singing, I think it's so cool that you guys have two lead vocalists, and I've always liked bands that had more than one singer.
You know, we like having the variety of not having the focus just on one. I mean, early on we started doing that, and we would work it out. Like Jack would say, I think, you know, maybe you ought to try and sing this. And in the beginning, the producer was kind of reluctant to do that, but then we would try it out on the mic and actually record it. And it was like, no, you sound good singing the verse, and I'll do the bridge, and then we'll both sing the chorus.
Kelly and I have spent our life like falling all over each other going, no, you sing this one. No, you sing this one. No, why don't you sing this? No, after you. No, after you. After you.
Jack has been really so gracious about that.
Like that.
He'd write these great songs like Goodbye, and he would sing them, and then he would suddenly like just back up and just go, why don't you try and sing this? I mean, you know, that just shows a lot of...
Or Tell Your Vision. I mean, I wrote Tell Your Vision. I'm like, Kelly, you're singing this one. Kelly goes, well, you can sing. I'm like, no. You sing this one. And it's like, Kelly's like, I got something about you.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's just like it just boom, there's Kelly Keggy. You know what I'm saying? It was just, that's the way it's always been with us. You know what I mean?
It's like something that I could sink my teeth into, you know, and he knows it. He knows me so well. And he would go, you know, if you just like sing it like with the grit in your teeth or whatever, whatever the song might be, if he's got an idea on it, and the same thing with me. Like, he sang some bridges, and I thought, you know, you should sing that bridge, you know. And he did it in that song, Tell Your Vision. He took the bridge, and it was brilliant. I mean, it just worked out great for us.
Kind of the way it's always been with us, you know what I mean? We've been that way. And I think the same thing with Brad, with guitar playing. I think that...
Well, actually, it was totally opposite with guitar playing, because Jeff and I both wanted to play the solos on the coolest songs. But the thing... But how we got around that was, you know, Jack would go, Brad, I think you should play the solo on this. And Kelly go, they both agree, you should do this fits your style better, or this fits yours. And, I mean, I was lucky enough to get the solo in Sister Christian. I mean, that kind of actually fit my style more. But, you know,
and
then
the new song, There's Life, fits Brad's style to a T, you know.
Yeah, but then we had, you know, another hit that we had, you know, When You Close Your Eyes. I, you know, graciously gave that to Jeff, because we knew that was going to be a hit too, and which it was. But, you know, when it came down to the twin harmonies and stuff, Jeff and I, we had a lot of fun sitting down. You know, I do one half, I do a quarter, he do a quarter, I do a quarter, he do a quarter. Then we fill that, then we both do the harmonies together. We kind of work out both, you know, who do what and my
it's
influence.
It's really complicated. I mean, when I listened to the album and I realized how much it was split up, the guitars were split up, it was like, but it still sounds like a solid, cohesive idea, you know. It's not like all random. It's really cool. You guys did an amazing job. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Kelly. But the thing, you know, we took a long time getting this record right, and, you know, I think it shows. I mean, we were doing that, got that Blazing Twin lead thing going throughout a bunch of stuff, and you know, some classic solos and the other songs. So, you know, we are like a sound man's nightmare, this band. We have not only two lead singers, but two lead guitar players. So, you know, whenever we get into a sound man, it's like, him, it's you. Oh, they're together. Oh, they're harmonizing. So, you know, but, you know, once we get our sound man down and he starts learning the stuff, it really interjects live. And this band has always been about playing live. We got a very high caliber and energy level, and I think it exudes to the audience.
Speaking of playing live, you have two additional musicians with you, Joel and Christian. Now, how'd you hook up with those guys?
We do? Oh. I thought we were three-piece.
John, I thought you were here to audition.
Aren't you the new keyboard player?
We're going to announce it right here today. John Astronomy, new member of Night Ranger.
Well, you know, it's funny, because we had Michael Lardy. When Fitz left the band in 2000, 2001, of course, he went with Van Halen and Bruce Springsteen. And, you know, poor guy had to step down. Anyway, but, you know, we got Michael Lardy in the band from Great White, and he's been with us for quite a few years. And then we had...
And we love Michael, and Michael's a great guy. And when Great White had to, you know, when they went out and made a record and did their thing, we encouraged him, man, go where your legacy is. Go where your heart is, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then we got Reb Beach in the band, and we spent about a year with Reb.
Yeah, Reb really helped us out, you know, honing in the new, you know, I mean, when we needed that stopgap before we found Joel.
Yeah. It was kind of an interim thing for Rev because we knew he was going to leave because he was right in the middle of doing a record with Whitesnake. And, you know, Rev's played with everybody's mother and brother. And, you know, he's kind of like that guy who gets around and plays with everybody, which is cool. So, we had him for a year and had a great time. We went to Japan, actually recorded a live record called Live in Shibuya with Rev. And that was great. And we just had a blast with Rev. And then he had to take off because Whitesnake was doing a record. And, we toured the States and we do Puerto Rico and we do Japan. But, you know, as soon as Rev got back with Whitesnake, he's doing Australia and Europe and, all in South America. And, so he was kicking ass, all over with all these other bands. So that's when we started, looking out for the new guitar player. And Kelly, tell him how you met him.
Well, through Jim Peterick in Chicago, who was the original survivor.
The guy that wrote Eye of the Tiger. Yeah.
He wrote Eye of the Tiger and all those, a bunch of great hits with 38 Special and Don Barnes, all those guys. So he's had a lot of outside writing as well as his own band Survivor. And I used to go up there twice a year and play Jim Peterick's World Stage is what it's called. And I met Joel Hoekstra and Christian Cullen.
And Kelly called us and said, this guitar player guy, he's like, this guy's rude, man. You're going to love this guy. And we're like, really? And so, that's the way we've always done things. If one of us feels right about the person, we're like, well, trust their instincts because we've been together for so long. So it's like, yeah, okay, man, let's check it out, And so Kelly said, this guy, you're going to love him. And sure enough, Brad,
Well, the thing was, too, is that we brought him in for one, Reb couldn't make a show. He went to play Rocklahoma last year, right, with Winger. So Joel came in, no rehearsal, flew to the gig, walked in and did the gig cold. Amazing.
He's the kind of guy that woodsheds and until he's until he's got it down. In fact, even after he did four or five shows, he was still woodshedding in his room. I go, dude, come on, let's go to the bar and have a cocktail. No, I got a woodshed. I miss one lick on the fourth song at the end. But so he's the good kind of guy that gets it right. And then he's the guy that when he was, I guess, 13, 14, he's like 10 years younger than me, when we were out just starting to make it, he actually sat down with an Night Ranger record and learned Jeff's eight-finger technique. So and no one else has ever been able to do it exactly like Jeff.
Right,
and when he ended up doing that, it just blew everybody away, especially me, that he was able to do that. And the audience digs it, They see him pulling off that stuff and it's like, dude, our audience is like, you got a great new guy. So he's well-respected by the fans and we're having a great time. Plus, he's a wonderful man. He's a nice guy. No ego. He's just there to work and get it right.
He lives here in New York. He lives in New York.
So we're from, the Bay Area, so we all meet in Denver. No.
Yeah. And Christian Cullen is from Chicago, Illinois. So I met him in that same situation with Jim Peterick, and he was playing keyboards. Same thing. Really great player. Young guy, like 32, 34. And we're just excited to have him in this thing, man. It's just really – it's really kicking ass. So
I hear so many people nowadays – when they talk about musicians that they're playing with, stress not only their musicianship, but how they get along with the other band members and if they're cool guys. And basically, the people that I think are getting the best gigs are the ones with no egos who really just want to play the music.
I got to tell you, man, we've been doing this a long time, and the last thing we want is drama. You know what I mean?
And an attitude.
We don't want, it's like... we've been doing this so long. We're out there. We want to have fun. We want to relax. And there's nothing – right now, there's nothing uptight. And so, yeah, that has a lot to do with it, man. In fact, we're very blessed the fact that not only do we have two guys that are just the most mellow guys and that are great guys to hang out with, but they're amazing players too. But, I'm with you. I'd rather go with someone who's just like mellow. Maybe he's not the greatest musician, but – he's mellow and he fits in with us, And I think that is real important, especially in the stage that we're in right now, because we just don't want drama. We don't care. What we want to do is just go out and entertain the people, man, and all those smiling faces out there, and that's important to us.
One of the coolest things that you guys are doing on the tour is you are offering your fans VIP packages. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well,
scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Meeting all these people face-to-face, horrifying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, absolutely horrifying.
I was just going to bring out cardboard cutouts and just put us out there, No, actually, it's actually really exciting for us. We thought that would really be a good idea because a lot of times when you go out there and play, you don't have that contact with the fans. It's just nowadays it's like an email or they post something or something like that. So now we get to actually, sit there and have them yell and scream at us like, why didn't you play that song?
And it's kind of cool because if I were to go see which I've seen Led Zeppelin a few times. And if I would have known I could buy a VIP package to go meet Jimmy Page, I would have died. You know what I mean? Not that we'll ever be that big. But still, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the way it is for some people.
But there are some diehard fans out there that just, you know, and guitar players, whatever, that would just love to, you know, meet me, or meet drummers love to meet Kelly, and people meet Jack, and just to be able to have the opportunity to come back and hang out and get photos and shake our hands and have a little bit of conversation. That means the world to somebody, and that will last with them forever. You know, I remember when I met Jeff Beck at the NAMM show in L.A. He's one of my idols, you know. And my major idol was Jimi Hendrix, and I was never able to go see him live. But if I was able to meet him, I probably would have peed my pants.
Absolutely. Very cool. Now, I know you guys have a full day ahead of you, so I just got a couple of more questions. Jack, did you produce this record?
We all did. I mean, we all produced it. We recorded it mostly at my place and some at Jeff's place, Jeff Watson's studio.
Michael Lardy engineered it. So we all kind of got in there as a group and did it. But, you know, I mean, Brad and Jack mainly were at the helm. You know, they mixed the record. You know, I live in Tennessee, so I couldn't really be there, and we wanted to kind of, you know, just if you have the whole band there, it sometimes gets, you know, it would go on for 3 months. No, put that one guitar up or that one snare drum, you know. So it's better to have, you know, just two ears, I think. That's perfect, you know, and that's what they did. They got in there and mixed it, pretty much produced it, all of us, and cut the track together. So
yeah, it's kind of cool because Kelly wasn't there, so we kept the drums real low in the mix.
Right on. Yeah, right, the drums are low.
My vocals are a little bit louder than Kelly's.
Less drama when there's only a couple of people in the studio making the decisions, and which is the whole point now. Like, let's go out, play the gigs, have a good time, make good music. Make the people happy, and, you know, nobody's fighting.
We were just talking about that with Lita Ford last night when we were hanging out with her. We went to Brad and I and Lita went to Les Paul's 93rd birthday.
Amazing.
Yeah, up there at the Iridium here. And yeah, Monday night. And we were just talking about that, and we were saying it's so fun that we've all survived the 80s and everything like that, and now we're playing Rocklahoma with her the same day, and we're all looking forward to it. We're like, come on up on stage with me. No, you come with me, and you get up on stage with me. Okay, let's just have, you know, it's like that now. You know what I mean?
It's like the bands are more humble now. At least, you know, most of them we're hanging out with. You know, we just did a show with REO Speedwagon a couple weeks ago, and man,
them.
It was so great. Those guys were so nice. They gave us all the stage room we wanted, and as long as soundcheck we needed. Of course, they finished theirs first. Bands are being real respectful, and we haven't had any problems. Now, back in the 80s, you know, when we were just starting out, there were bands that would give you crap, you know, a couple bands in particular. But
it's all out of insecurity, though. I mean, that's what it is. It's like, you know, it all gets born out of that.
I think a lot of bands were afraid for us coming in because they had these two young gun guitar players coming. They're smoking, you know, and whatever. You know, we just do what we do, you know.
See, that's that attitude I was just talking about.
And it's also the fact that we all, I mean, and I think the guys like Kevin Cronin with REO and the guys in Styx and, you know, and all this, it's like, you know, I honor the spirit inside of them that has them still out there rocking. And they, I think, in turn honor, you know, the spirit that we have in us. And I think that's what makes us all sort of like one big, like, family of man, you know?
Exactly.
The guys that survived the 80s, 70s and 80s.
Phil Collin from Def Leppard said something very similar to us, and he said that the tours...
But Def Leppard, we don't really like that.
Now, he said that he was out with, I believe, maybe Styx and REO, and how everybody was just really having a great time getting along, and it was different than bands saying, you know, you can have only like one amp and one light. And
cut their lights, cut their sound, cut their everything. I mean, especially those English bands, man, in the 80s, we'd play with some English bands, and those English roadies were notorious, man. They'd cut our cables. They'd cut cables, they'd detune guitars, they'd break drum heads. They'd like, I'm going to fucking whack them on this one. You know, I mean, they just like, really? I mean,
if you go 1 minute over your allotted time slot, then they cut your power. It's like, come on, give us a break. We're at our, you know, we're fanning out the last note of the chord of the set.
You remember, I think it was Sammy Hagar's management came up and told us that you couldn't wear red. Remember that?
Yes. So what did I do? I wore all red.
Because of that, Sammy remembers it as being me, and now he hates me.
Well, you know, we all pointed the finger at him, like, who wore red? And we all went,
it's
Jack.
Like, wait a minute. It's like, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And it's like, now he still hates me.
Unbelievable. Guys, before I let you go, I want to ask you about a gig that I think is really cool that you guys did. You went down to Guantanamo Bay and played for our troops. Tell us about that.
Unbelievable. That was a great experience. And for one thing, you know, we realized once we got down there, that, you know, the press, everybody had been asked to come down and check it out. And nobody came down. And they were getting all this bad vibe about it. You know, you're keeping people captive and blah, blah, blah. And they offered everybody, come down and see what we're doing. Come down, we'll brief you on it. And they did. They briefed us on it for an hour and a half and gave us the whole rundown from 9/11 on. You know, there's a bunch of Al-Qaeda guys in there staring us down. When we were in there, we're looking across the glass at them. Two of them supposedly are guys that they caught during 9/11. You know,
didn't
make their flights. I mean, it was all this crazy
stuff.
On purpose,
I'm sure.
You know, this is just, you know, it was insane. So when we played for them, they were saying, nobody comes down. You know, we were so proud when they asked us to come down. They got a hold of McGee Entertainment and James over there and said, hey, you know, what about Guantanamo? And we just jumped at it. So we would do that in a second again. You know?
And it was pretty amazing because they have 8,000 troops in dependents down there in Guantanamo Bay. We probably had half of them at our show. And it was pretty amazing because they were really digging what we were doing. And it was so funny. There's a CIA, a big CIA guy there that had a nice Taylor acoustic guitar. And this is like a big CIA interrogation officer, right? But he plays acoustic guitar. You know, he's probably in his 60s. And I had a problem with the rental gear of grabbing a nice acoustic guitar. And he came up and offered his beautiful Taylor guitar. Wow. And he brought it, and I played it at the show. And he was very thankful. He said, hey, I never heard my guitar sound so good, right? And I said, well, thank you for letting me play such a great guitar. So it was just
wonderful. He said, you're welcome. Now here's all your tax returns for the last 10 years back.
We'll stop looking into them now.
But then, you know, and then Jack and I had a great opportunity to go down to the actual bay, Guantanamo Bay, and drive these Coast Guard Viper gunboats with 50-millimeter guns on it. And it's just amazing, man. These boats probably do 80 miles an hour, man. And they're sent out in the water to chase anybody coming down in the bay, of course. But, you know, we had a boat next to us, another Viper gunboat, and they had all their headgear and goggles and everything on. And
machine guns.
Yeah, and they're holding guns. And, you know, I wanted to Jack, take a picture of me, because you're showing me driving the boat.
The boat.
And on the other side of me was another boat, our escort. But, you know, I said, all right, guys, look cool, right? And the picture's like, everybody looking cool, and one guy's smiling. It's like, okay, this must have been a setup picture, you know?
Man, very, very cool. Guys, I want to encourage all of you listeners to go out, pick up Hole in the Sun by Night Ranger on VH1 Classic Records. The tracks I heard are amazing. Those aren't even the singles, so I can imagine the singles got a kick ass. And I really appreciate all of you guys taking the time out to hang with us today.
Hey, thanks, John. Appreciate
thanks, John.
It.
God bless.
I stayed away, but her liquid arms pull me back today. It's a rocky road with a bitter twist. When the lips of the bottle are the last you kissed. If I drift away, cause I lost my grip, gonna drown myself with one last sip. Throw me a line, cause I'm reaching out. Rescue me before I fall, yeah. She's a bitter lover and a bottle of bitch. It's an angry thirst, only she can quench. She'll slap you silly like a ragdoll toy. You're screaming whimper like a mama boy. It's a barrel roll, it's a free fall ride. Spin you under like a crashing tide. Spitting me up, slamming me down. Rescue me before I fall into this raging river. Waves crashing.